open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk, the second chapter. So just give me a few minutes. I feel like what George shared was paramount for us, but I want to give you a little word on top of that that hopefully will help you steward it once we send it to you. As a matter of fact, while you're turning there to Habakkuk chapter 2, I'm going back to our original scripture for 2020, or year 2020. It comes from 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. It says, early in the morning they left the desert of Tekoa, and they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, people of Jerusalem. And people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. In the King James, that same verse says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. When Jehoshaphat spoke this word, he understood that they were about to launch into something that was very different for them. The word that they had received from the Lord was a word that was very different. God was saying to them, you stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. You do not have to fight in this battle. It doesn't belong to you. And that's a very different strategy that God brought to them. And I want you to understand this, that when we are in seasons like we are right now, God's going to begin to speak some things, and it may be challenging for you to see it in order to believe it. And the reason why I preface it that way is because when God spoke to Joshua, I'm going back to where I ended last week, when God spoke to Joshua, he said, see, I've given you the city. See, I've given you the city. But what he didn't do was give details around, well, he gave details as to how they would take the city. But when he said, see, I've given you the city, he's saying, I need you to see this now through eyes of faith. Say, eyes of faith. I need you to see this through eyes of faith. And when God speaks to you and shows you and I something, all he's looking for us is a yes and amen. Amen means so be it. Yes. Amen means so be it. It's not just a religious word to share that you're in agreement, but it means so be it. Amen means so be it. And so he's speaking to Joshua. He says, see, I've given you the city. I've given you Jericho. Then he outlines how he wants them to take it. Now, what he gives him is illogical instructions. Say illogical instructions. Now, you know, here it is. We've taught illogical instructions for miraculous results. Thank you. Some of y'all know where I'm going. That's great, because my goal is to get it inside of you. Illogical instructions for miraculous results. That's just part of the kingdom. It's not always a part of the kingdom. Sometimes the instructions are very logical, but there's times when he's moving in the miraculous and it's going to be illogical instructions. The Lord's going to speak to you something that's going to seem illogical. It's going to be hard for you to be able to visualize it and to see it. But he says to Joshua, see, I've given you the city. All Joshua has to say is amen. So be it. Thank you for that. I was sharing with someone recently something that I said, hey, when we get done with da-da-da-da-da, you know, we're going to bless you. And the person started to go into this kind of apology. Like, well, I don't do it for... I said, hey. The only thing you need to say is thank you. That's it. When God is blessing you, when he wants to bless you, just say thank you. Come on, practice. Thank you. Yeah, just say thank you. Just say thank you. When God spoke to Jeremiah, he speaks to him out of purpose and destiny. Jeremiah lets him know, I don't think I'm the guy. But then he says to Jeremiah, see, I've called you a prophet to the nations. Now tell me, what do you see? And when he said, I see the bud of branch of an almond tree budding, he said, you have seen well. He says, I watch over my word. This one translation says, I watch over my word to perform it. God watches over every word that he speaks. That's why he says, my word will go forth and not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I've sent it. So when we received the text messages of the word that Sandra had gotten, immediately what I do is I put that in my a Word document, and I put it on my iPhone, I put it on my iPad, it's on my computer, and I take it everywhere I go. And every chance I get, I'm rehearsing that word, I'm praying into that word. Now, that's just a discipline for me, because my life has been governed by the leading of the Holy Spirit and the prophetic words that he's given me over the years. Now, if you're not accustomed to the prophetic flowing in your life, it'll be hard for you to really receive that. But I'm telling you, if you can ever just get alive to the fact that God is speaking and he's speaking right now, and there are prophets in the body of Christ that he speaks through, God can bring a word to you that'll change your life forever. Because sometimes it's not just something that you're reading, it's something that's imparted to you. It's a word that comes to you. And so over the years, over the course of my life, that's what I've gotten, one word after another, one word after another. And not every word was an exciting word. Some words were corrective. Some words were a rebuke. Some words were an admonishment. Some words were a caution. I remember hearing this word years ago. I was leading worship for a church, and there's a prophet from South Africa, and he gave this word, and it was a really good word. I was enjoying it until he said, and the struggles you're about to go through. I mean, it was good. I was enjoying it. Then he said, and the struggles you're about to go through. I said, what? Now, I said it in my head. I didn't say that. I was playing, you know, keeping the flow going. It's like the chords change right about then. But I'll never forget that. But what God was saying is, I'm not just going to tell you the good stuff. I'm going to help you understand where I'm taking you so that we can get through it. That's why Jesus said, I tell you these things so that your joy will remain. I tell you these things so you don't fail, that you don't fall, but that you stay in a place of faith. And so we've got to be able to be excited about the good words we hear as well as the ones that seem to challenge us. And after I had heard that word that later that week, two brothers that we were involved in ministry at the time, Ayers Ministries, we were doing evangelistic ministry, prison ministry at the time. I had started a radio program that these two gentlemen were doing the radio teachings. They came to me and said, hey, we want to meet with you every Thursday and pray with you because we don't know what that word means, the struggles you're about to go through, but we want to pray for you. We want to keep praying you through on the other side of it. Now, I want to tell you something. Exactly what that guy said, it happened. We landed in a place and we struggled through it, but the prayers of the saints avail much. And when you can hear the word and allow the word to do what it's supposed to do in you, all too often, what we try to do, we want to edit it to fit where we're at. But when he told Jeremiah, he says, I watch over my word to perform it. I hasten to perform my word. The moment you say yes, the moment you say amen, we can get busy. So I'm encouraging you even now, when we send out this word from Sandra, find your word in that word. Find your word in that word. Now, going to Habakkuk. Chapter 2, it's a familiar passage. I just want to give you three thoughts around this passage, and then we're going to end out our time here. I'm going to do this rather quickly. First of all, I want you to recognize just a little context. Habakkuk was one of the prophets who was speaking. His contemporaries were Zephaniah and Jeremiah. Now, the challenge that Habakkuk had, he didn't like all the evil that was taking place, and it seemed like nobody was being dealt with. His concern was that the evil and injustice he was witnessing, that God wasn't doing anything about it. But make no mistake, on the landscape of humanity, of mankind, God is working. And when history wraps itself up, you will know without a doubt, God was a part of all of it, from the beginning to the end. From the in the beginning to the amen. Colossians says Jesus is the sum of all things, holding it all together. So don't think because things look crazy that there's somebody else working it. In the backdrop of all of it is God. when it's all said and done, we'll all know that it was him. But in his writing, Habakkuk, he's crying out and he's saying, why won't you do something about it? And then here in chapter 2, word comes to him. It says this, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on a rampart. And I will keep watch to see what he speaks to me. Now, this is Habakkuk talking. And how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, now this is when the Lord starts talking to him. Record the vision and ascribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come, it will not delay. Behold, as for the proud, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. Let me read again. Record the vision and ascribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. The righteous, the just, shall live by faith. Same passage now from the Message Bible. What's God going to say to my questions? I'll brace for the worst. I'll climb to the lookout tower and scan the horizon. I'll wait to see what God says, how he'll answer my complaint. Full of self, but soul emptied. And then God answered. Write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. I like that. The vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. And it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Look at the man bloated by self-importance, full of himself, but soul empty. But the person in right standing before God through loyal and steady believing is fully alive, really alive. He was bringing into context and perspective for Habakkuk. Don't get it twisted. Don't think that it, because it looks one way, that's the way it really is, and that's the way that it's going to go. He says, you need to write down what I'm telling you. Not only so you can read it, so that others can read it, because it's going to be in the reading and in the seeing that it will help you align yourself with my purposes, that my word will be fulfilled. And though it seems like it's taking a while, it will happen in its time and ultimately in God's time. In this year of seeing and believing, I want to encourage you to find a place in God where you can say, help me to see what you see. Help me to see from your perspective. Help me to get okay with what I don't see and give me the grace to wait. One of the dynamics in this whole thing of seeing and believing is that God will help you to see what's been hidden from you as well as help you to see what's been hidden for you. You will see what's been hidden from you at the same time, see what's been hidden for you. Not everybody is supposed to see. Some of the things you see are just for you to see, not for anybody else. You would do well to understand that, discern that, so you don't waste your time, you don't waste your energy, you don't get frustrated in this season of seeing and believing. Because you see, part of our nature is this. You see something, and then you want someone else to co-sign what you see. You want to share it in hopes that they will see it too, that they will agree with you. But you have to know this. Some folks will never see what you see just because they don't want to see what you see. Then some folks won't see what you see because they're not supposed to see what you see. And I want to tell you another thing. Sometimes folks will see what you don't see and help you to see it because you can't see it. And that's where the prophetic comes in. That God is able to speak to you through someone, bring a word to you that you can't see yourself. I don't know about you, but I've had a whole lot of those kind of experiences. So I'm going to leave you with these three thoughts. Write it down even if you don't believe it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about that word that comes to you, that God shows you and gives you a vision. Write it down even if you don't believe it. Just because it does not seem to make sense now doesn't mean it's not God for you. It may mean the you that's writing it is not the you who will fulfill it. Let me say this again. I apologize back that I didn't get these points to you. Write it down even if you don't believe it. Write it down even if you're struggling with it, Philip. Just because it doesn't make sense now doesn't mean it's not God for you. It may mean that the you that's writing it is not the you who will fulfill it. Let me say that again. Write it down even if you don't believe it. Write it down even if it's hard for you to believe it. And I'll be the first to tell you, I've been in seasons of my life when things were so challenging and so hard, and a word comes to me, but I'm so overwhelmed with the conditions that this word just, it ain't doing anything for me. But God brings it to me. And so I learned over the years, and I have a notebook, and I have now on my computer and my iPad, a file that has words that I've received over the years. And what I've learned to do is to go back and look at those words in various seasons of my life. You know what I'm talking about. Because I recognize the guy that read it 10 years ago couldn't understand it back then, but the guy that reads it today fully is aware of what that word is about. Write it down even if you don't believe it. Just because it does not seem to make sense now doesn't mean it's not for you. It may mean that the you that is writing it is not the you who will fulfill it. The second dynamic is this. Once you say yes to the vision, you position yourself for the Holy Spirit to walk you through the processes and preparation that will prepare you to be ready to fulfill the vision at the appointed time. Now, I know that's a mouthful, so just stay with me. I'm almost done. Once you say yes to the vision, you position yourself for the Holy Spirit to walk you through the processes. And let me just pause right there. Because often when the word comes, write it down, make it plain so that those who read it can run with it. God will often say, I need you to write it down so that you can steward it. Now I will work in you while I'm working through others to help bring about the word. Give you an example. In the summer of 2018, I get word that there's this building for sale. And Pastor Arnez, who's a realtor, she called me. She said, do you want to see the building? I said, I do. And so we drove over, and I met with Pastor Josh and Lonnie in the office. And we sat there. And Josh asked me the question. He said, do you have vision for this build? Do you have vision for this? Because For Pastor Josh, it wasn't just trying to sell the building to anybody. He really believed that there would be legacy, that there would be something passed on. He said, do you have vision for this? I said, yeah, I have vision for this. But it wasn't enough, just enough to say I had vision for it. I knew I needed to get something in writing. I needed to get something down. So some of you aren't aware of the piece that we put together. That's a really nice kind of, really what it was just a vision piece. Picture of the building on the front, the embassy, and then I started, and I cast vision, wrote it down, opened it up, put some more pictures on the inside, cast more vision. And that's what I begin to hand out. That's what I begin to give. That's what I begin to mail out. But all the while I'm sending that out, the vision, the word is working in me to fulfill the vision as well. The moment you say yes to the vision, you position yourself for the Holy Spirit to walk you through the processes and preparation that will prepare you to be ready to fulfill the vision at the appointed time. Say, at the appointed time. Come on, say, at the appointed time. And so we started that journey in June. By that fall, I was able to put together something that really cast the vision. Wrote it down and shared it with our leadership team, shared it with our church. Then we began to share it with the broader body of Christ. And by January 17th, which was Friday, by January 17th of 2019, we sat in Somerville Bank. Pastor Maurice and I were there, Pastor Arnez, Pastor Josh, Lonnie, his realtor. And in that instance, vision was fulfilled. In that instance. Because the moment you say yes, you position yourself to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in you to bring it about. Lastly, I want to tell you this, and this is really coincides with the word that Pastor George shared and that Pastor Sandra sent us, and it's this. Once the time has come, say once the time has come. Okay, I want you to say it just like with a little more excitement, like the louder you say it, the faster we'll get out of here. So like, once the time has come, once the time has come. We're getting out of here. Once the time has come. Come on, say it. Once the time has come. Once the fulfilling time has come. Listen to this. You must step into the moment with everything you've got. Once the time has come, you must step into the moment with everything you've got. Why? Because vision, hear me now, vision has a way of creating its own momentum. Once the time has come, man, I'm talking to y'all up there. How y'all doing? Just somebody waved. Okay, thank you, somebody. Thank you, Cinnamon. Once the time has come, okay, I'm just having fun, y'all. We're wrapping it up. Once the time has come, you must step into the moment with everything you've got. Why? Because vision has a way of creating its own momentum. That's why it says that the one who reads it may run, not walk. Once the time has come, you must step into the moment with everything you've got. Vision has a way of creating its own momentum. Once the appointed time has come, once that word is being fulfilled, a momentum kicks in. And when that momentum kicks in, you want to make sure you're right in stride with it. Because you can step into it. But if you're trying to manage it at your pace, there's a good chance you'll get ran over, you'll get lost in it. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down, even if you don't believe it. I'm just gonna hit these three real quick and we're done. Come on, team, write it down, even if you don't believe it. Just because it does not seem to make sense now doesn't mean it's not God for you. It may mean that the you that's writing it is not the you that will fulfill it. God has a way of bringing you words that are fulfilled, listen now, 20, 30 years later, if you're sensitive to it. The key is to write it down. Don't think that because right over the moment you're in, it doesn't make sense, so you just blow it off. I'm riding in my car one day, minding my own business. At that time, I was starting to do some things in worship, and I was riding in my car. I got a phone call. I'll never forget. It was a lady, lived not too far from where we were in Columbus, up in Delaware. She called me. She said, is this John Stevenson? I said, yes, it is. She said, I just believe that God's given me a word for you. She said, God has graced you. He has gifted you in worship and to lead others in worship. And she said, and I just see God using you, and God's going to open the doors for you to go into some of the mainline denominations. He said, and God's going to use you to birth worship and to bring the people out of their religious traditions and find him in new places of worship. And she said a few other things. Now, I kid you not, when she was talking, I was compelled to pull the car over and write as much down as she was saying. Of course, back then we didn't have the smartphones and stuff. And I pulled over and I took an envelope, or no, a piece of paper that I still have today. And I wrote down the things she said. Around this time next month, I'll be down at the Cove, Billy Graham's facility. I'm invited there by a denomination, the International Holiness Pentecostal Churches of the World. The gentleman that heard me lead worship in a setting said to me, he came and said, I need to know if you will come and teach us, because what I experienced here, our denomination needs to experience this. Amen. I'm talking about the fulfilling of word. I'm talking about the fulfilling of word.
Yeah.
He said, we just received a grant from the Lilly Foundation for $1 million. We're setting up retreats over the next 3 to 4 years. He said, I need to know if I can book you for 3 right now. I'll be there in February. I'll be there in September. I'll be there the following. He said, I've already ordered 150 of your books.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Are you hearing me? When I got that word, driving down whatever road I was on, I didn't even know if my car was going to keep running. Are you listening to me? But I wrote that word down. I just said, yes, Lord. Now, I've been other places with other groups and things, but that word came back to mind when this gentleman called and said, our denomination needs to experience what I've experienced. The simple yes. And so in this season of seeing and believing, I want to encourage you to say yes. Just say yes. Just say yes. Thank you, Father. 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 Yeah. We're getting ready to end out now, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.